Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Deanna's grandma, Nanny, was awesome. I had the joy of letting her be my nanny for a number of years before she passed on. And Nanny was a gift in so many ways, but one of my favorite memories in the times when I think of her most are surrounding weddings. Nanny loved weddings. In fact, Deanna was sharing pictures. I told her I was going to talk about Nanny today, and so she sent me pictures of the two of us at our wedding with Nanny. She was in the hospital when my brother-in-law was married, and on the way to the reception, we stopped and had a party in her hospital room at her bed, and it was awesome. She deteriorated more when my sister-in-law got married, and she wasn't able to be there, and so we live-streamed it for her, and we've got a picture of my sister-in-law and her husband holding a picture of Nanny. Nanny loved weddings. And whenever we went to a wedding, she always had three questions. How was the ceremony? How was the dinner? How was the cake? How was the ceremony? How was the dinner? How was the cake? And I want to use those questions to frame today. Because the reality of what we begin, what unfolds before us in the days ahead, is a love story. It's about how Jesus wins for himself a bride. It's the image that we have of God's people, and Jesus is that of a marriage. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride. And it's a love story that has been unfolding since time began, right? A love story that is ever before us. The ceremony matters. The love matters. And I think over the next several days, we will see again, we will experience again the lengths of love that our Lord Jesus goes to for you. Because he loves you. He loves you and he wants to be with you. Period. He loves you. The ceremony mattered to Nanny. All of it. It matters to Jesus. But the meal mattered too. In some ways, mattered just as much. Because who you eat with matters. The meals we eat matter. They're the foundation to life, right? I mean, we don't get very far without food, do we? And life isn't very flavorful without it either. What you eat, where you eat it, and who you eat it with, it matters. And what's a party without cake? Amen? Right? See, if we understand that this ceremony and these days are the preparation and the fulfillment of a marriage, the ceremony has been unfolding since the beginning, but man, the meal matters. In fact, in so many ways, it started with a meal, right? Right? It all started with a meal in a garden where Eve ate. And messed everything up. It started with a meal. Certainly that was betrayal, and that's what we understand of that meal where Eve ate from the forbidden tree. Recently I was reading someone that it wasn't undermining that, but offered the thought that maybe part of the brokenness that was revealed there was that Eve ate alone. How often do we eat alone? Too often for many of us. I don't think we're meant to eat alone. I don't think we're meant to eat alone. And that's a bitter bite to swallow, isn't it? It started with a meal. Today, salvation unfolds with a meal, doesn't it? in the upper room with his disciples. Began long before with the Passover meal and the Passover lamb and the Israelites that were enslaved and freed by a meal and a sacrifice that set them free. It started with a meal. Salvation unfolds with a meal. And here today, it continues with a meal, doesn't it? The saving work of God continues every time we come to the altar, every time we reach out with our hands to receive a scrap of bread. Sometimes you get more than a scrap of bread with me, huh? You're welcome. It's good bread. Can't help but give it away. But every time, right? Every time we come here, you get in your hands the very goodness of God, a meal and a sip. It reminds you of the life-giving meal of Jesus. That doesn't stop. It continues over and over and over again. So it started with a meal. It unfolds with a meal. It continues with a meal. And it concludes with a meal. That's the image we have of heaven. A wedding feast, right? Where there's cake. Nanny, I hope and pray, is enjoying some cake today. And your loved ones too. Because that's what it's all about. And so much of who Jesus is and why he came was so that we could eat cake with him. It concludes with a meal. A meal with. With is one of the key words in God's story. With. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. This past Christmas, Deanna asked for one thing for Christmas. Our pots and pans were 20 years old from our wedding, and they were tired. And so she said, Scott, all I really want is some new pots and pans. And I'm like, great, I can do that. But then I'm also like, ooh, yay, here are pots and pans, honey, right? Like, I'm a little bit smarter than so I had to spruce it up a little bit. So I got her the pots and pans she wanted. But I also wrote her, probably too long of a letter, that reminisced about all the meals we've had together over our 20 plus years. The big ones, the fancy ones, the celebratory ones, the silly ones, the crazy ones, the rushed ones, the ones that still bring a tear to our eye. Because who you eat with matters. It's part of our story. With. I mean, that's the ceremony that Jesus is playing out for us and has since time began, right? I mean, that's one of the names for Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The incarnation celebrated at Christmas. God comes to be with you. I love the story from Exodus that we read today. I mean, how bold were the Israelites, right? They're there and they say, every word you say, every rule, Lord, we will follow. I can't even, right? We'll do it all. We'll do it all. Oh. It didn't work. I mean, God knew it wouldn't work, but he set up the things. He gave us the word. He gave us the rules. He gave us the way and said, do this so that you can come to be with me. And the problem is, at every turn, we fall short. At every desire, we come up short. We're less than what God wants. We're less than we want. no longer invited to the table anymore. And God realized, and he set forth a new plan. It wasn't really a new plan. It was the plan from the beginning, but it wasn't about us coming up to be with God. It was about God coming to be with you. Amen? It's been that from the beginning. And so it starts in a town in Bethlehem when God comes to be with us, right? Remember where he came? The lowliest of states. No room in the inn. The lowest, laid in a food trough. That's what a manger is. This humble servant came to be with you. The reality of that day was Bethlehem, and maybe you remember me sharing this before, but I think it's such an important part of our story, is that Bethlehem, outside of Bethlehem, the city of David, the house of bread, that's what it means in Hebrew, is where the shepherds lived. And so the ones that saw the angels and started singing and proclaiming, right? Those were special shepherds, though. They were the ones that were raising the lambs, the spotless Passover lambs that were to be slaughtered. And so they had a system. And one part of their system, when they found out that a lamb was perfect and fit for sacrifice, when it was stamped and approved, this is sacrificial material, that they would actually wrap it in a cloth to swaddle it. And they raised it up and lifted it up off the ground, because there's nothing worse than for business than having a perfect lamb that then gets trampled on and is no longer blameless. And so they would swaddle it and they would actually lift it up and put it in a manger. That's where Passover lambs rested. It's where Jesus rested in preparation for tomorrow. The lowest. Jesus starts at the lowest, and so much of his ministry is about his humility. This incredible rabbi who is God, but also revealed God and spoke truths about God that were life-changing. He never sought honor. He never sought authority. He never sought to climb up. But today he climbs some stairs, doesn't he? He goes into an upper room. That's what the disciples had set up for him. The upper room in the first century Holy Land area, what was like the top floor, the roof of a house. And it was like you wanted to hang out in the upper room, right? If you've ever been to a rooftop restaurant or bar, and I think of like the ambiance, right? The lights, the dangly lights, and the subtle music and the laughter and the good food and the good fellowship. It's a place where you go to be with your favorite people. This is where Jesus is. This is where he connects with his closest followers in preparation for what's coming. It's a place where your belly gets full of good food, but your heart is full because of the good people you're with. It's one of the few places or few times in Scripture where Jesus is elevated, right? Sermon on the Mount, Mount Transfiguration, upper room. Most of the times he's lowly. Here in the upper room, I think Jesus reorients us that authority and power originates at a table. At a table. Who you eat with. And then he wants to eat with you. The other time he is elevated is when he's raised up on a cross. Raised up. Jesus. Authority in the kingdom of God. Sinners on a table. And as we die with him on the cross. That's what these days are about. That's what love is. That's what the power of Jesus is This is the wedding. Jesus is winning for himself a bride. You. The story's just beginning. We get to unpack it more tomorrow. But until then, let's eat. Because he wants to eat with you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.